What we were, before this tape was interrupted, we were talking about, historians of chemistry in the 1930s, yes. And I just wanted your impressions of Tenney Davis, Charles Brown, and anyone else you want
yes.
to mention.
When I attended the meeting, ACS meetings, that's when I met some of these persons in the division of the history of chemistry. And that's when I also met and got to know the stature of Tenney Davis and of Charles Brown and many others, some names I can't recall. But they were way above me educationally.
Why was Tenney Davis interested in Chinese chemistry?
He was interested in Chinese because he evidently had a desire for history, and MIT had some Chinese students, and they brought some manuscripts along over, and so he translated them, not he but the student, and then they collaborated to get the details, Chinese alchemy, and he had quite a number of papers on Chinese alchemy, and so that's when I got to know Dr. Davis. And he also came down to use some of Dr. Smith's library. And he, I thought, was excellent. And then he invited me up to his home, and he sent a few books along down with me. And
he was quite a book collector in his own
way. Oh, rightly so. And we have quite a number of Chinese alchemy, and some others too, but some, I forget where he sent them. He then died shortly afterward. I think he was editor of chemia for 1 or 2 years.
Now, he was also a nuclear chemist, wasn't he?
Yes, oh yes, oh yes, definitely.
A great reputation.
Mm-hmm. Yes, an organic chemist also. And he was terrific. I felt as though I was just a tiny little person compared to him.
What about Dr. Brown?
Dr. Brown, I had known Dr. Brown earlier, and he was very kind. He reminded me so much of Dr. Smith, Dr. Brown did, because they had, if I remember correctly, they both had ideas to found the journal, the division of education, chemical education, at the Chicago meeting. And he came to Philadelphia quite frequently. I don't know whether his work brought him here. I never knew him that well. He knew Miss Armstrong far better than he knew me. And I guess because Miss Armstrong was present when he was around, and I thought he was a very nice person. I didn't know anything of his work. I had my hands full with what I was doing at that time, and so there were a number of men in the division, both divisions, education and history of chemistry, that were very able. And that's where I met Mary Elwira Weeks.
Yes, she, where was she from? Massachusetts someplace?
No. I thought she was in the Midwest somewhere.
Maybe. We'd have to look that up.
I'd have to look. Yes.
I guess Mary Elvira Weeks was in that crowd in the 30s and with Brown, yeah. Davis.
Yes. There were quite a large number. There were I guess Van Cluster.
Van Cluster was from Rensselaer Polytechnic.
Yes.
Institute.
And
then there was Dennis Duveen from New York City.
Yeah.
Now, how many of these people do you think came to use the collection because they were trying to compare it with their own library that they were building?
Edelstein would come once in a while.
Now, this is a bit later on. This is the 1940s.
But, yeah.
Yes.
These were men who, these were people who took an interest in the history of chemistry. And I never was that close to them, real close, because they had many other interests, and I guess were concerned with Miss Armstrong, people like that.
Now, Miss Armstrong, during the 30s and 40s, also did quite a bit of reference work.
Yes, oh yes. She helped people from DuPont and people that endowed some parts of chemistry, the German firm
Robin Haas,
yes. These are the people that were very influential and also very much interested in the Smith collection. Roman Hall's especially, with plastic, glass, and things of that sort. And she did a lot of work, dictionaries, old dictionaries, and looked up some references. And of course, we had a member of the chemistry department, Dr. Connor, Ralph Connor, who came in to our department, and then who went to Roman Hawes. And Horning, Dr. Horning, he was another organic chemist, and he went to, I believe, National Institute of Health, I believe. And Dr. Carmack, C-A-R-M-A-C-K, he went to Indiana, to the University of Indiana then. And some of these, as I said before, received grants from some companies so that they had summer employment. With
a lot of consulting work was done by the Penn faculty.
Yes.
Did you do very much consulting work?
No, not that. No, I did not. But
and did they involve their students in this consulting?
Yes, and they had their own files and under lock and key, and I guess I don't know. Some of it was secret, more or less.
Now, in the mid 1950s, Dr. Price
came
to Penn and with the intention of revitalizing the department and making it competitive nationally.
Yeah, make it, yes.
And it was at the same time that you were really given the duty of being the assistant chairman.
Yes.
What were some of the things that you did then?
Well, I had served 2 years as assistant chairman with Dr. Krieger. He was an interim chairman, and then they had chosen Dr. Price, and he came then and wanted to revitalize the whole curriculum. And then I was kept on for 13 more years. And I was in charge of curriculum and advising.
And in the meantime, you still kept up your work in analytical chemistry, teaching the courses.
And history of chemistry.
Yes.
Until that phased out, until the history of chemistry phased out, when we were required to become part of the college then, and with math and physics and biology. See, chemistry was part of the engineering school until the administration made us change. And Dr. Harnwell had come at that time, you see, and he took care of physics, and that was in the college, and so we had to move to the college become part of the college. And that's when some of the courses changed, and when we got more college people, and College for Women came in then, and some School of Nursing came into chemistry. So
you had really a dual role, administration and teaching.
And I had to schedule the courses, and then I became a member of the schedule committee and all sorts of things. And the School of Nursing, I represented the chemistry department then in all of these areas, in physics and chemistry and nursing, School of Ed. See, I then became part of all of these other curricula. And I couldn't do much. It was just too much.
Yeah. Do any real research, original chemical research?
So I served until 65. And then I had a leave of absence. That's when I went abroad for three quarters of a year. And
did you
had funds.
It's been said by... Oh, I noticed by a number of historians of chemistry in the last few years that during the 1950s and 1960s, the great changes that took place in chemistry were not so much in a theory, but in instrumentation.
Oh, definitely.
And I don't know if you'd want to comment on that statement, because you went through that, actually.
Yes, I went through it. But we did not get in chemistry. We did not get a lot of money from the administration for equipment, for apparatus. We did not compare to many other schools where they could go out and buy separate balances and
spectrometers.
Yes, all sorts of things. So the university didn't cater to that the way it should have at that time.
This is before Charlie Price came on.
Yeah. Then, of course, then they began to apply for grants, and we just had to do the best. Even in the early years, if a graduate student in the department wanted to have a new piece of apparatus, he was told by the department or by somebody that you have to build it yourself. We don't have the money to buy it, and we can't apply for all of these things, which I thought was wrong, but there was nothing you could do. So that's why some of it didn't progress as rapidly as it should have.
And really it was Charlie Price who turned things upside down in the sense of making sure that Penn was brought to date.
Yes. And that's when of course, they made a move then to have a new building and things of that sort, that you had to have a lot of things done.
Did you do very much work with instrumentation, yeah. early instrumentation
no.
yourself?
No, we did not. It was more analytical, true analytical.
Classical analytical
yeah.
chemistry.
Uh-huh. I thought that was, should have been better handled, but it wasn't.
Did you have any graduate students?
Yes, one or two. I had two graduate students on gallium, and a number of others had to do with some of the projects that. See, we had Engineers' Day here at Penn. I don't know whether you know anything about that. Every year in spring, they would put on a show in chemistry and physics, and sometimes in biology, to bring in high school students as prospective students to see what is being done here. And so you had to direct students to build little experiments and have something for the high school students to come in and look around and see what experiments were being done, and just to give them an appetite for science, because they had felt that the university should have more science students. And so that's what we did. We spent 2-3 weeks sometimes just to work up a little experiment for different areas of the department, and run them on that day, and then have some of the students, the graduate students, explain the principles, and it was just to develop an appetite, which should have been done, and we know it was done at some other schools much earlier. I must tell you this, not to degrade Dr. Smith, but I know when Dr. Smith was both chairman of the department and vice provost, he would lean back on, prevent chemistry from doing some of the things that they should have done that time. He would favor the other departments, like physics and biology. We knew that. And I guess he did that because he felt that he would then show too much favoritism.
It's a very good observation, I think, and probably very true.
It was true. We nevertheless did not lose out on Dr. Smith, because by the time that he died, I was told that there would be about $500,000 that would be used for scholarships and fellowships. And chemistry did gain some of that. For instance, during the summer, we could keep some graduate students here during my tenure of 20 or 30. They'd get several hundred dollars extra to stay here and do some study and experimenting, things of that sort. And those scholarships also went to other classes of students. Some college students, some physics, chemistry, biology, but they weren't as many, because they told me that they had to use only the income from the money.
in the course of, I guess, 4 decades at Penn, when do you think the students were the most interested and serious of all the years you were at Penn? When do you think you had from your perspective, the most interesting group of students here on campus? Any particular period, or? I mean, some would say probably right after World War II when all the veterans came.
Yes, that was the period that was the best, I think. I don't recall exactly when the best group of students. There was a time period when there were not as many students. Their enrollment was low.
During the Depression?
Yeah.
War.
And
well, that was just a tough question to get a sense of.
I
guess I'd like to go back for a second to.
Yes, indeed.
1946, and that is when there was a drive to form an advisory committee to extend the influence of the Smith Collection,
mm-hmm.
and it was really the beginnings too of Kaimea began from that
mm-hmm.
drive and. Who was involved in that and in those efforts and what was actually accomplished in that period? Do you,
I don't recall.
Henry Lester involved in that?
Henry Lester, yes.
Yes.
They sent out letters. They formulated a advising committee of quite a number of persons, and not all of those contributed to the advancement of Smith. There were a few individuals. That's when Davis and Brown and a number.
And Edelstein is around.
Yes. Yes. And Lester. He came in frequently. He must have had some means because he would come east, and he did a lot of writing of letters and soliciting papers. I don't think that they gained much in finances.
Do you think it was the wrong time for that, in a way? The history of chemistry seems to have been on the real decline.
Yes.
After World War II. And was it possibly the wrong time for this effort?
I guess it was.
I mean, in a real way, yes.
Because we had difficulty with getting Kaimea going. I know that we went to New York City to the publisher several times, and the number of volumes that were sold was small. Colleges and universities, some didn't, I guess, have money either to buy extra. It was, we never gained a lot of issues. I don't know whether we still have some here. I guess we do. And
you were on the editorial board.
I helped the editors and Miss Armstrong.
You had a student who wrote a paper that appeared in the Kaimea as well.
Yes.
On the owl.
Yeah. That was one of my graduate students.
Yes.
he
Rabinowitz, I guess.
Yes, oh yes, Joe Rabinowitz, yes. He was a very nice fellow. And one day I said to him that I like some of the owls and that I have seen in some of the title pages. And I said, how about helping me to write it up? And so he did. He got a big kick out of it. And yes, Joe was a very able person, too. I like Joe.
Now, he was a graduate student in chemistry.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yes. Quite a number of them wrote papers that were in the history of chemistry group. I graded them on...
Is that in your class?
That was a class.
But it was actually relatively hard to get good papers for Kamiya at first, yeah. Wasn't it? Going back to Kamiya now.
Yes.
That was a hard thing.
I bet it was. And you had trouble. Sometimes the issue was small. Not as many papers. And sometimes the person wanted a long paper. And many of them, a few of them, were to be pharmaceutical. And we didn't just like a lot of pharmaceutical papers. Levy was one. The terms. Abrams was one who tried to...
Jewish history.
Yes, Jewish history. And we, not that we didn't like that, but we felt it wouldn't appeal. The volume wouldn't appeal then if you had too many of those papers. And
Did you feel at the time that it was just very, very hard to campaign for the history of chemistry?
Yes.
At a time when... No one seemed to understand why you were doing that?
I guess that's true, but we just couldn't get it going for some reason or other. I don't know.
Because, of course, now Kamiya is... the historical studies of the physical sciences.
Yes.
And is it a very important journal?
Yes, now, yes.
It's at the right time.
Of course, it changed over when they changed editors. You know, it began to change over. What is the editor? McCormick?
Russell McCormick.
McCormick, yes. Russell McCormick, yes. That's when it started to change. And, it broadened the whole scope. And more people had a background in the history of chemistry, I think.
Later on?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I thought so. I don't know what we could have done, and I guess we could have if we had... put more emphasis on it, but we didn't have the personnel to do it. And some of us were involved in things that didn't help Kamiya.
Well, there was no full-time history of science person.
Not here. It was... Piecemeal, Dr. Schreyock, who had been here.
Yes, I was going to ask you about it.
Yes. He gave a lecture to a required course in lecture to the medical school students. So I would go over there and sit in on that lecture. And he had several parts to it, and then there were two other men, and I don't recall their names, who gave a lecture. I think they were period lectures in history of medicine. And I learned a great deal about that. And some of the chemistry of them.
Right, but there was no full-time historian of science here at Penn who could somehow or another helped out with the formation of Chemia and made sure that it was a quality publication.
That was a sad part.
Yes.
And then, of course, Henry was editor for quite a while, and Lester, and of course he was on the West Coast, and Henry Lester, and so we just didn't have it. And then Miss Armstrong had been away then, and these part-time librarians then that served did very little.
Were these graduate students?
No. These were retirees from the library, or partially retirees. They wanted to work a day or 2 days. But I was often